Hello and welcome to A Journey Through the Bible. I'm Benjamin.
And I'm Johannes. We're two guys from Sweden, currently living in Montana, attending a school of biblical studies with YWAM. It's a 9-month long course where we get to study through the whole Bible. And in this podcast, we just want to share this journey with you and what difference the Word of God is making in our lives.
66 books, 5 times, 9 months. Let's go! Hello, family. Welcome to episode 12. This is the podcast, A Journey Through the Bible. I'm Benjamin.
And I'm Johannes.
And today we're going to look into 2 Peter and Jude.
Yeah, two short but really cool letters.
Yeah.
That tackle some interesting stuff.
Yeah. And it's weird because they're not of the same author, but somehow they belong together.
Oh, yeah. We're going to say that they are very much alike.
At least this chapter of Jude and one of the chapters of the Peter.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was really cool to study these letters. I don't think I've read them much before.
No, and never side by side like this.
No.
Super cool.
Yeah, and yeah, they tackle some things that you're like, what? Like, this is weird, but it was really like, we can apply it today and we need to look out for the same things as these guys are.
Yeah,
we need to,
and
be
we did them alongside with John's, so it was a week full of heresy.
Yeah,
or reading about people teaching heresy.
There we go. That sounds sounds better.
Okay,
we shouldn't call our teachers out here.
Okay.
Okay, so starting as we always do with some history background.
Who wrote it?
Well, 2 Peter. I'm gonna go ahead and say that Peter wrote it.
Yeah. Why?
Because the Greek is so terrible that only a fisherman, an uneducated fisherman, could have written it.
It's wonderful. This has been debated if it's Peter or not, because it's so different compared to 1 Peter.
Exactly.
But our dear friends have been that actually know some Greek. They're like, yeah, this is terrible. And this 1 Peter is actually written with very beautiful Greek.
Yeah.
So most likely 1 Peter was written by Peter too, but with a scribe of some
kind. Exactly. Someone who wrote it down for him to make it sound, you know, like proper Greek.
Yeah, exactly. But we also, that kind of brings in a bit of the passion scene in the letter too, that is Peter who like just frustrated writes this and like, come on!
And then for Jude.
Yeah. That's a big question. Mm-hmm. That's also a highly debated topic.
Yeah.
Who this Jude could have been. Mm-hmm. What a lot of people would agree on is that it was written by a guy named Judas.
Yes, exactly. It's a little confusing in English translations that it says Jude here, which could also be translated as Judas.
Yeah.
And he says that in the beginning, it says Jude, a servant of Christ and brother of James.
And so there is a couple Jameses.
Yeah.
But we kind of believe that it's the James that wrote James.
Yeah, exactly.
Which would have been the half-brother of Jesus.
Yeah.
So I think I went with saying that Jude would have been Judas, the half-brother of Jesus.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you have any questions on that, do some searching.
Yeah.
There's a whole jungle out there of information, especially on what type of relationship there would be between the brothers of Jesus and Jesus.
Exactly. But yeah, I think we both landed on that this Jude is probably the Judas referred to in the Gospels as the brother of James, which was the brother, half-brother of Jesus.
Yeah.
So, there we go. That's
and
who we think.
That lands us on a dating around 60 to 70-ish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Most likely. For us, if we want to go with those authors, probably.
And most likely they have based one or the other on the other letter.
Yeah, they are so incredibly similar that they must have been based on each other somehow.
if Peter wrote it afterwards and copied Jude's stuff and added his own twang to it, or if it was the opposite, that is a good question.
From what I understood, most scholars think that Jude was written first and then Second Peter, but I mean, I don't know. I don't know how you could make that argument, really. Yeah. Maybe they have a good reason for it. There are some who say that Jude are tackling things that are way too advanced to be written in the mid-century, so it should have been towards the later end of the century.
Even into the second century.
Yeah. But I think we both landed around 60s.
And that's mostly based on who the author is.
Yeah.
And we know that Peter died somewhere like 70s-ish.
Yeah.
68 is what a lot of people believe.
Okay, yeah.
I think I actually tied it down to 64 to 68 as my time frame.
Okay, that's very specific.
Very specific. I can't even remember why. But that's what some dictionaries told me, that this is most likely if you believe this. And I believe that.
All right, so. Yeah. They've probably done their research, right?
Yeah, exactly. Hopefully.
Hopefully.
So. But who was it written to?
Yeah, that's another good question.
Do we need to ask that question?
I don't really know. I don't think it really affects much of what the main message is.
No. I think it's written to a similar audience as we talked about in the letters of John. Similar kind of people living in the same era, same issues. So most likely Christians spread out in Europe and Middle East.
Yeah, exactly. Somewhere around the Mediterranean, probably.
Yeah.
And they're Christians and they are under the influence of false teachers.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's kind of what we need to know about the audience, or what we can know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, yeah, jumping straight into Jude. We'll start with Jude.
Yeah.
It's a one chapter letter.
25 verses.
And Jude kind of starts off kind of funny. I like this beginning he has in verse 3. He says that he was really eager to write to them about their common salvation. He's like, it kind of starts off like, I wanted to write this really cool letter on our salvation that we have in common. Like, oh, it's so good.
I just wanted to write something positive to the homies.
Yeah.
And then he's like, no.
But he says, I found it necessary to write, appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once and for all delivered to the saints. And for certain people have crept in and they are basically teaching heresies.
Yeah.
And so he's like, so I guess I have to write this letter.
Sadly. Would have been fun to read something positive.
Yeah, exactly. I would have wanted to read that letter. Just to see what it was like. Yeah. I wonder what he would have written, you know?
Maybe something similar to John.
Yeah, maybe.
John is kind of positive
in
his gospel.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, really good. But, so he comes out and he says, certain people have crept in unnoticed. So speaking to the church, probably, that they've crept into the church unnoticed. And they are designated for condemnation. They're ungodly people. And they are perverting the grace of God into sensuality, and they are denying our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ.
They're messing up so much.
They are.
And it's so sneaky because they just snuck into the congregation. It's not like it was obvious they stepped in one day and just started speaking heresy, but they became one of the brothers and then slowly started to convert teachings into heresy.
Yeah, exactly. And so, yeah, we see that Jude is kind of calling out two things that they're doing. They are perverting the grace of God into sensuality.
So they are distorting the doctrine of who Jesus is.
Yeah, or kind of the grace.
Yeah.
That we have the grace of God, and so therefore we can do whatever we want. Mm-hmm. we can, you know, have all these sexual relationships. It doesn't matter.
Because
we have the grace of God. We can do whatever we want. We're forgiven. And they're denying the master and the Lord. They're messing up the doctrine of Jesus.
So we have a teacher talk about there's three big main ideas that define a false teacher. Mm-hmm. And here we're touching on two of the three.
Yeah.
The sexual ethic and doctrine.
Yeah, exactly.
So we're pretty sure that these people are kind of gnarly. They're kind of...
Yeah.
They have some really weird stuff to say.
Yes, and their influence on the church is not good.
No.
No. And so Jude is going to call out these people and say that, like, what's in store for them, these false teachers, is destruction.
Yeah, and he uses Sodom and Gomorrah as as an example.
It's an example, yeah.
That this sexual immorality they're doing will be punished.
Yeah.
They will be punished with eternal fire.
Yeah. Yeah. He's calling out some heavy stuff.
Yeah. He's not sweeping it under the rug. He's not tolerating this.
No.
Jude is putting down his foot and is like, no, this is not okay.
Yeah.
This is actually the truth. You live in immorality, eternal fire is to come for you.
Yeah.
Really challenging stuff.
Yeah, really challenging. And he's not at all like, he's not taking it easy. Like,
no.
Well, okay, like we need to correct them. No, he's like, these guys, they got to be out of here because these guys are leading you guys straight into hell.
But how do you think here? Do you think this is just like every person that ever sins, are they in this position?
No.
Okay. So what's the difference?
Well, I think what we see is that they are perverting the grace of our God into sensuality. Mm-hmm. And they are doing this continuously.
They're actively perverting it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And gathering from context here, this is what they're teaching.
Yeah.
And this is what they're promoting in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And they're leading the whole body astray, the whole body of Christ astray. Yeah. And so I think this is what Jude is so harsh against.
Yeah. It's not necessarily someone screwing up and sinning.
Exactly.
It's people deliberately deciding to teach people to lead him into sin.
Yeah.
He's talking.
Yeah. To. It's not just, you know, a broken person struggling in a broken world with temptation. No, it's actually someone who's given in so much into it that they believe that that's the right way to walk.
Yeah.
And are teaching other people and aren't willing to look at themselves to see sin in their life, but walking it out and actually leading others into it. So yeah, that's, I mean, I think that's what Jude is.
Yeah. And I think that's the main message of this, of this book.
Yeah, I think so too. And then we have some interesting things in this book.
Yeah. Some sweet dudes that's mentioned.
Yeah. So we bring up first, there's an interesting encounter between Michael and the devil.
Over
the body of Moses.
Yeah. This is not in the Bible, Johannes.
No. This is supposedly back in Deuteronomy, I think, is when Moses dies. Is that the book?
Yeah. Somewhere around there.
We haven't been there yet, but...
And people have tried to find it.
Yeah, exactly. You walk through Deuteronomy and you're like, wait, Moses dies, but they're contending Michael and the devil over the body of Moses. It's not there.
It doesn't exist.
Yeah. And so this comes, we think it comes from a text called, I need to look it up, the Testament of Moses or the Assumption of Moses.
Yeah.
If this is the same or two different texts, we don't really know.
Unclear.
We do have parts of one of these texts.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to say that it's the same for simple sake.
Yeah.
We have part of this text, but that doesn't actually include this section.
Oh.
About Michael and the devil. And so we have that quoted from another text, quoting this part of the text that we don't have. Yeah. And so it's really confusing. But a lot of people kind of like to look at this and be like, this is controversial. This isn't in the Bible. What's happening here? The
but
Bible isn't accurate.
Is it?
No, I wouldn't call it that.
No.
I think that's like us quoting C.S. Lewis.
Yeah.
Because he said some great stuff and it's worth quoting.
Yeah. But it's not canon. It's not in the Bible.
Uh-huh. It's not canon. It's not in the Bible. Doesn't mean that it's not great and inspired by God.
Exactly. And very often we choose to quote C.S. Lewis for some reason.
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't really read much C.S.
No,
Lewis.
No, not me either.
I kind of want to.
Everyone seems to want to quote him. So.
Yeah. But that's kind of what's happening here too. And also in verse 14, we see a testament kind of, or prophecy that Enoch makes.
Yeah.
Which also isn't in the Bible.
No.
And so that's in the book, first book of Enoch.
Yeah. So is there more?
Yeah, there are multiple, I think.
Hmm. Why is he not in the Bible?
He is not in our canon. He is in the Ethiopian canon.
Yeah. It was canonized up till 200 or 400 like that.
Yeah.
So it's a book that early church had in their Bible, and then they decided that it was not worthy of being in our Bible.
Yeah.
And the canon has very strict rules of
what can be in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it just probably didn't fulfill the criteria to its fullness. Some of it has to do with that the author might not have been actually seen Jesus. Or being credible enough. But it seems like a lot of people still listen to what it had to say. It was canon for over 400 years. So
yeah, and it doesn't mean, just because it's not canon doesn't mean that there aren't truths in there.
Exactly.
But maybe we don't want to build whole doctrines off of
it.
And we could go on for days about the canon and why things are in the Bible and not. But yeah, but basically what Jude is doing is he's quoting these different texts and basically he's bringing up examples that are speaking against these false teachers.
Yeah.
That's why he's using these texts.
Yeah.
And so it's not something super controversial. It's just what he's doing to
encourage the guys to live holy.
Yeah, exactly.
He's using Moses to show that not even the angels blasphemes judgment on the devil, but rebuke him.
Yeah, exactly. And he's saying that these false teachers, they're blaspheming.
Yeah.
And yeah.
But we're not called to do that.
We're not called to
towards
do that.
Them.
Not even the angels do that to the devil.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
And so, yeah, he's going really hard against these false teachers. So you mentioned the two things, or the three things. We've seen two of them that are marks of false teachers. And we get the third thing in verse 11, when Jude says that they are walking in the way of Cain, and they abandon themselves for the sake of gain to Balaam's error. The sake of gain, this kind of relationship to money.
Yeah.
That seems to be a big influence as well on to recognize false teachers.
Yeah. So there we have our free, we have our doctrine, we have for gain of some kind, if it's money or status or stuff, but for self-gain and sexual ethic.
Yeah.
And we see that in our churches today too, that there's struggles with those things where it's debated.
Yeah.
And heavily debated if it is false teachings or not. We have to be careful how we address things like that, but also recognize what is truth and not.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And
so I feel like this book really speaks into our time.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
To really gain some wisdom.
Yeah, and even though, it might seem like it's, I don't know, first time I read it, I was like, this is so out there. I have no idea what I'm reading. But looking into those details and like, okay, this is how you can recognize it. And then you look at some of the things, leaders in church or some of the things that are happening, people are outspoken. Okay, but look at these three things. Look at the doctrine. Look at their whole teaching.
Yeah.
Everything, their whole teaching. There might be good things, but maybe there are some things. Because these guys can they crept in, right? Unnoticed.
Yeah.
And then look at their relationship to money. What are they, what are their like motivations? And have they given in to this sake of gain?
Yeah.
And then sexual ethic.
Mm-hmm. And then he kind of finish off the whole letter there with a little cozy. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, authority, before all time and now and forever. Amen.
Yeah.
Just a cute, awesome little like... Here is who God is.
Yeah.
He is the one who keeps you from stumbling. He is the one that makes you be able to be presented blameless. Don't give in to these false teaching.
Yeah.
You're better than that.
Yeah. And so, yeah. So that kind of concludes Jude for us.
There is more things in there, but read it. It's fun.
Read it. It's super fun, especially when you get to read it with these those eyes kind of.
Yeah, and read it together with 2 Peter.
Yes, because we're going to look at 2 Peter now.
Yeah.
And it is so incredibly similar.
Yeah. Not really the beginning, maybe, but the middle part.
The middle part of Peter.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about... Yeah, we can start from the beginning.
Yeah,
talk
let's about, start from the beginning.
What's happening. And 2 Peter is turns out to be a really, really cool letter. Really good. Peter kind of starts off with a call for them to confirm their calling and election.
Yeah. What does that mean?
Basically... to show that they are saved.
Yeah.
To
walk.
To walk out their
it's
salvation.
It's a lot of calling in these small letters in the end of the Bible towards the conduct of your life.
Yeah.
How do you live out your life?
Mm-hmm.
There is a call to make sure that they're following the teachings.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And so Peter starts off kind of saying that God has saved them to his precious and very great promises, eternal life. And for this this very reason in verse 5, for this very reason, I'm just going to read a little bit here. Make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love.
Yeah, that's a handful.
That's a handful for sure. But he goes on, continues, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Wow.
Yeah. He's calling them to live out their faith.
Yeah.
And grow in their faith. Mm-hmm. Keep their faith active. I think, like you said, these are marks that we see in a lot of these smaller letters. It's like, walk out of your faith. Like, keep it active, keep it alive. It needs to make a difference in your life, and it needs to keep growing.
Yeah. It's a call to continue to grow.
Yeah.
And also, I think Peter here is also establishing a little bit of what is a truth. Mm-hmm. What is true teaching?
Mm-hmm.
Because he's going to come into this second chapter where he's like, there's false teachers out there. Basically, the copy of Jude. But he's kind of starting to establish, this is the truth. Don't fall for the false teaching. And there is a whole list of different ideas that Peter is defining. These are false teachings.
Mm-hmm.
This is the truth compared to that. He's contrasting a lot of those things. Not obvious, but when you start to study the text really, really closely, mm-hmm. you're starting to see these themes that he's like, creation has a pattern that God created, and that is the truth. Everything mm-hmm. else is heresy.
Yeah.
And similar ideas that you see throughout the book.
Yeah. And so, going into chapter 2, this is where it's basically Jude and 2 Peter copies of each other.
Yeah.
It's calling out the same things against false teachers. saying how they are going to be judged. There's destruction waiting for them. Yeah, like if you are actively walking out these things and teaching them, leading the church astray, yeah, you have nothing but destruction awaiting for you at the second coming.
Yeah. He's calling them out hardcore here. I just read 14 and it's kind of fascinating to me. They have eyes full of adultery, insatiable for sin. They anise unsteady souls. They have hearts trained in greed, accursed children. It's not a little cozy calling out saying, oh, there is some stuff happening here. It's like, this is who they are. They're full of crap.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. And yeah, they're forsaking the right way. They have gone astray. They have followed the way of Balaam,
yeah,
who loved gain from wrongdoing. Well, there we go again. We have the adultery, the sexuality.
Yeah.
We have the gain. And then we see that they are denying Jesus and that he's coming again.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, same thing as Jude, basically, and we've already touched on that. So moving into chapter 3, we see that Jude kind of states his purpose. Peter is stating his purpose that, I'm stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder. He's like, okay, but remember the gospel that I taught you guys. Remember the gospel that you received. This is the one that this is the one you need to hold fast to.
Mm-hmm.
Don't follow these false teachers who are nobody's. Like, look at the same thing as John did. Like, what did the apostles teach you guys? Like, the apostles, the eyewitnesses, go back to those. This is the truth you're holding fast to. And yeah, so he's kind of like stating his purpose there of like, yeah, by way of reminder, okay, remember the gospel you received and stirring up your sincere mind. Like, walk out your faith.
Yeah.
Keep walking it out. Don't become inactive. Don't become passive, but keep walking.
Yeah.
And yeah, and he also gives them assurance that the day of the Lord will come.
Yeah. And a warning. Make sure that you have your stuff together.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, because the Lord is coming like a thief.
Yeah.
You will not know the day.
Mm-hmm.
So don't be like, I'm sinning today. Get forgiveness on Saturday or Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Don't live like that.
Yeah.
He's calling them to a high standard of living righteous constantly.
Yeah, exactly. And kind of those things that we read in the beginning, that add to this and add to that and add to it and continue to add and continue to increase, to grow. Yeah. And that's kind of how he ends the letter.
Yeah. So we see here in both Peter and Jude, it's a call to live a high standard of life, to live according to the teachings of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be deceived by false teachings and false teachers.
Mm-hmm.
They will sneak into your congregations.
Yeah.
They will rise up and they will look like Christ's,
mm-hmm.
but they're going to teach heretic.
Yeah.
And he's giving us some idea of what heresy looks like.
Yeah. Three main markers that we saw in both letters.
Yeah.
Of how to recognize, you know, if there is maybe something up with someone that you should like look closer at.
Yeah. And we have some other things that might point in the same direction too. It's just like, how does the doctrine look like?
Mm-hmm.
Who was Jesus? And what is the nature of Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
What's the Bible? And
What
is the nature of the second coming and the resurrection and similar things like that, where he's mentioning in these letters people going away from the truth about these things and calling it false. So I think that is a wrap.
Yeah.
It's two heavy books.
Two heavy books.
big calls.
Yeah.
Big calling outs.
Uh-huh. Yeah, for sure. Big calling outs. Yeah. So, yeah. And giving us some tools on how to gauge these things.
Yeah.
And to look at, I think one big thing too is to look at what the church has said in history.
Mm-hmm.
What is, like, looking at the creeds.
Yeah.
What do we believe?
Yeah. Super cool.
Super cool.
Thank you, guys, and thank you all people who has been sponsoring us on this journey.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you for supporting everything that we're doing. And we just wish you guys a blessed week, and keep walking in the light, walking in the presence of Jesus. Keep growing.
Amen.
Don't be deceived.
Yeah.
Have a good week. Bye.
Bye.